Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to preaching through the book of 1 Peter, and it's going to be an exciting book. But this morning, we're going to go ahead and go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and just kind of as we introduce this theme and what it means to be called out, to stand out. In 1 Peter chapter 2, again, we will have the we'll have calendars in the back like this. You have a calendar that you can pick up. They'll be on the tables in the back. And again, it's got a lot of the dates and events and things coming up as well. We also have the wristbands that have the theme on it as well, called out to stand out. And so all of that will be available in the lobby as you leave. So make sure you pick up one of the calendars. Make sure you pick up one of the wristbands as well if you'd like one of those. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're not really going to get into a lot of, you know, the background of the book and things like that. We'll kind of start that next week as we start at the very beginning. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse number 9 and 10, Peter says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And if you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, maybe underlining, I would encourage you to underline that phrase, "called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And then in verse 10, he says, "which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for, again, for this new year you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church to be willing to stand out as you have called us out for your honor and for your glory. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to do more for the cause of Christ this year. And Lord, bless the message now. Use it to speak to our hearts. And Lord, you just work as only you can. And Lord, we ask your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to bring a short message. I know this morning we kind of spent some time going through some of the year in review and things, but I want to bring a short message on our theme, called out to stand out. Because if we truly want to stand out as God wants us to, we have to understand our identity. We have to understand who we are. We have to understand what our purpose is. Right? And that's what we want to look at this morning, because in a world that defines people by appearance and achievements or approval, God reminds us that our true identity is not found in any of those things. Our identity is not found in how much money we have in the bank. It's not found in what kind of car we drive. It's not found in what kind of job we have. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ. That's where our identity is. And unfortunately, the world tries to look and find identity in so many things that really are pointless. They're useless, right? I mean, they think that somehow money is what brings identity, or fame or popularity or possessions and things. And God says, look, for a Christian, none of those things are where we can find our identity. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. And he says, we are chosen, we are called, we are commissioned to reflect his glory and live as a distinct people for him. A distinct people in a dark world. Again, think about what he says there. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's something that God has for us. Right? We're not just to go through life just the same as everybody else in this world, just living day after day, trying to get the same things that everybody else has. No, he says he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But yet there's something that he wants us to do, and that is that though we have been called out of darkness, he wants us to stand out in this world that we live in to show other people how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so there's two things I want us to look at here this morning. Notice, first of all, in verse number 9, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation." Notice the first thing we find, we are a new people. We're a new people, a chosen generation. Now, please don't misunderstand this in thinking that somehow God chooses people for salvation. It's not what we find. Scripture does not teach that. God does not choose certain people to be saved and certain people not to. The Bible tells us very clearly that God has given us a free will. Every person has to make a choice whether they will choose to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior or reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, okay? Every person has to make that choice. And so don't misunderstand God choosing people for salvation. That's not what he says. Again, notice what he says in verse number 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he says, in time past, you were not a people. You weren't a people of God, but now you are the people of God. So what changed? What was it that changed? In verse number 10, he says, they obtained mercy. They obtained mercy. Now, think about this. I hope you understand this morning that as a church and what we believe the Bible teaches, that is a person is saved by grace through faith. It is God's grace. But sometimes we think about grace and we leave off something that is super, super, super important, and that is God's mercy. God's mercy. He says they obtained mercy. What does it mean to receive mercy? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Titus, you can turn over there with me very quickly to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, notice in verse number 3, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And in verse number 3, he is describing a lost person. He's describing someone who does not know the Lord. He's describing someone who is still in their sin nature. This is just how they live their life, right? This is how we lived our life. Foolish, disobedient, being deceitful, right? Living just for pleasure and lust, hateful, being hated, right? I mean, that's just how life was. But notice what he says in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. So God saw us in this lost, wicked, sinful state because we chose to sin against God. And God saw us in that state and God shows kindness toward us. By the way, God didn't have to show kindness. God could have left us like that and said, hey, you brought this on yourself. It's all yours. But instead, the Bible says that God saw us this way and he showed us kindness and love of God. He showed us the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man. Now watch how. Look in verse number 6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Friend, do you understand what mercy is? Mercy is not receiving what you rightfully deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we rightfully deserve. Every single one of us deserve to die and spend eternity in the lake of fire. That is what we deserve as sinners. That's what we deserve. You say, well, man, I go to church and I read my Bible. Don't I deserve something better? No. Every one of us deserve to die and go to hell, to spend eternity in the lake of fire for our sin. Because we sinned against God. We have rebelled against God. But God shows us mercy. God says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Well, how does God do that? How is God able to give us mercy? How is he able to show us mercy? Well, notice he says, not by works of righteousness. Friend, do you understand that you cannot earn the mercy of God? You cannot earn the grace of God. Sometimes we think, well, if I can be religious enough, or if I can be, you know, follow enough religious rituals, and if I can be a good person, and I can go to church, and I can have a Bible, and I can keep the Ten Commandments, then I can be saved. No, friend, he says, not by works of righteousness. We think, because we think more of ourselves than what we really ought to, we think somehow we can save ourselves. That's what we think. We think we can save ourselves. I don't need God. I can do it myself. God says, no, you can't. Because this is what God says we are. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, following diverse lusts and pleasures. He says, you can't please God. And so God has to show his mercy. in not giving us what we deserve. Well, how did God do that? Well, friend, we just celebrated it. It's called Christmas. We just celebrated God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Why? For our sins. Do you understand that Jesus came and he died for us? He took our punishment. He took our place so that we don't have to have that punishment, so that we don't have to receive that. He says, I'm showing you mercy. You don't have to receive what you deserve. In fact, not only do we find the mercy of God, but the grace of God is receiving what we don't deserve. We deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment in the lake of fire. God says, I'm not going to give that to you. In fact, I'm actually going to give you something that you don't deserve. The Bible calls it eternal life. Eternal life. To be able to be, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You are to be born into God's family. You see, when a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're admitting and saying, hey, I cannot save myself. I can't do it on my own. God, I need you. I need your mercy. I need your grace. And this is what he's saying to us here. He says, it is only by the mercy and the grace of God that we can be saved. No other way. And when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone, again, the Bible's very clear, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you and I can do to earn our salvation. God says it's simply by his mercy and by his grace, but here's the thing, it's your choice. God's not gonna force you to be saved. Remember, there were two thieves on the cross. Both did not go to heaven to be with Jesus. One did. Why? He made a choice. He made a choice to put his faith in Jesus Christ. The other one made a choice not to. They made a choice. Friend, you have a choice today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a choice to make. You can choose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and admit that you're a sinner and admit you cannot save yourself. And you can repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, or you can make the choice and say, I don't think I need Jesus. I was baptized and I've been a member of a church and I'm a pretty good person and I think I'm all right. That's your choice. But friend, understand there's only one way. There's only one way. The Bible says that's through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. But here's what happens when a person puts their faith in Christ. God creates a new people. Did you notice what he says in verse number 10? Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. He said they were not a people. God did this with Israel. Israel was not a people. God took Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm gonna make a great nation out of you. There was no nation of Israel before Abraham. God says, I'm gonna make a people of you. And friend, can I tell you something? God does the same thing with us. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are not a people, but God makes you a people. What people? The family of God. God places you into his family. This people group is made up from all believers from China and Africa and India and Russia and Europe and South America and North America and all the other nations. This family, this people is made up of believers all over the world who have made that choice to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. In fact, Peter tells us exactly how a person is born into this family. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse number 23, notice what he says. Being born again. Interesting, he uses the same phrase that Jesus has used to Nicodemus back in John chapter 3. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know what Peter's saying? He says, friend, you can think that you know your way to heaven. You can think that you can come up with your own way, but there's only one way that we can go to heaven. And God tells us in his word, it's through Jesus Christ. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you can't find your way in this book, friend, you've got the wrong way. Well, you say, well, I think baptism is the way. No, baptism is not found in this book for salvation. You say, well, I think church membership is the way. Church membership is not found in this book for salvation. Well, you say, well, I think being a good person and keeping the Ten Commandments is the way. That's not found in this book for salvation. Here's what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus said, I am the way. That's it. He did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. You know what that means, friend? There is no other way. There is no other way than through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. And what's so amazing about it is when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he makes a new people. We are part of the family of God. And I tell you, it's an amazing family to be a part of. It's an amazing people to be a part of. Those of you that have gone on mission trips before, maybe you went to Africa, or maybe you went to Mexico with us or something like that, and you get halfway around the world and you find people who are Christians, and guess what you find? Part of the same family. You're part of the same family. It's an amazing thing. I don't know, did we get that recording? Did you get that recording I sent you? Must not have. There was a recording that Pastor John sent me on New Year's Day. And of course, in Uganda, things are done, they do things a little bit different. A lot of times on Christmas Day, they'll have an actual service and on New Year's Day. And so they had a service on New Year's Day and a church service. And this lady shows up to this New Year's Day church service there in Mbali. And Pastor John said, this lady recorded this, and she said, I sent it to you. I want you to listen to it. Do we have it? Maybe? He's working on it. But it was this lady, she's saying, hey, I've been listening to Truth Radio, and she came, somehow she ended up hearing that they were gonna have a service that day at the church, and she came, and she heard the gospel, she got saved. You know what? She's part of the family. You know what? If you're saved, she's your sister. You say, I don't even know who she is. I've never seen her either. I've never seen her. But you know what? I know she's part of the family. Why? Because she put her faith in Jesus Christ. Not in a church, not in a religion, not in something that she could do. She put her faith in Jesus Christ. And she just wanted to publicly testify and say, I'm just so thankful for what God has done and how God used Truth Radio and now being able to accept Jesus Christ. You know what? She's part of the family. That family's made up of believers all over the world, in China, in Australia, in South America, in Europe, in Africa, all over the world. We have folks that are part of the family. Why? Because they're good? No. Because they understood there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the second thing. Not only do we find a new people, but notice there's a new purpose. There's a new purpose. Now, friend, let me tell you this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this purpose doesn't apply to you. It really doesn't, because your purpose is just basically living for self. And that's what you've been doing. That's what you'll continue to do. You'll continue to live for self, you know, try to amass money and popularity and fame and be happy with trips and all this kind of stuff, and try to find some type of satisfaction in the things that the world offers. But it'll never come. That satisfaction will never come in the things that the world offers. It will only come through Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us a new purpose. Again, notice what he says at the end of verse number 9, that ye, those who have put their faith in Christ, this new people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that an amazing thing? He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light to stand out. He's called us out of darkness, lost without Jesus Christ, on our way to a devil's hell, and yet he offers the gift of salvation through his word. And maybe somebody told us about it, or maybe we heard it through a message, or maybe somebody gave us a track, or somehow we heard that Jesus Christ was the only one who could save us. And we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he brought us out of darkness, and the Bible says, into his marvelous lights. But for what purpose? Is it just so that we can stand in the light of Jesus Christ? Is that why? No, friend, look. Look what he says. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called us out of darkness so that we could stand out. Again, remember the direction that you were headed before Jesus found you. You were lost. You were exactly what we saw in Titus chapter 3, foolish and disobedient and deceitful and just after our lusts and pleasures and things. He says, that's the direction we were headed. Do you remember the direction you were headed before you met Jesus Christ? You remember how you were lost and how you thought maybe the world would bring satisfaction and you tried this and it didn't work and you tried that and it didn't work and you tried this and it still doesn't seem to work and you're like, I just feel like I'm lost. And then somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Somebody told you how Jesus Christ can bring complete satisfaction. He can change your life, give you a new life. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Remember the direction you were headed before that? He says, he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his praises. We are to live differently. You know why? Because we belong to a different people. We belong to a different family, a different kingdom. Your words, your choices, your priorities should reflect this new family to show forth his praises. Not ours. We don't do this for us, right? I don't get up here and preach every Sunday for me. It's not about me, right? All the things that we saw that God did this past year, that's not about First Baptist Church. That's not about you and me. It's about him. Now, did God use us? Yes, and we're thankful for that. But it's about him. He's the one that deserves the glory. He's the one that deserves the praise. And so God says he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can show the praises of him who has done this. The statement that ye might show forth means to speak forth. It means to let it be known, to tell, to publish, to publish abroad. The word praises means the virtues, the excellencies, the supreme and eminent qualities of God. Man, if you remember where you were headed before you met Jesus Christ and you remember how Jesus Christ brought you out of darkness, yes, maybe somebody shared Jesus with you, but that person couldn't bring you out of darkness. It was only Jesus Christ that could bring you out of darkness. And he saved you and he brought you out of darkness and he planted you into his marvelous light and he's given you a new family. He says, hey, now here's this purpose that I have for you. Your purpose now is I want you to talk about me. Your purpose now is I want you to show forth. I want you to speak about the praises of God. I want you to speak about his glory. I want you to speak about his mercy. I want you to speak about his grace. I want you to speak about who God is. He says, this is what our purpose is, to talk about him. It's interesting. In Mark chapter 3, when Jesus calls the disciples and he's getting ready to ordain those 12 disciples, it says he went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. He didn't just call the disciples just so that he could have guys around him and say, hey, we're having a good group of fellowship here. No, he called the disciples around him so that he could send them out to preach, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell them about what he has done for them. I wonder if we were to look back in 2026, just to look back a little bit, I wonder if we could count how many times we talked about Jesus. I wonder if we could look back in 2026, not talking about the church, but individually. I wonder, did you talk to that coworker when the Lord told you to? Did you talk to that neighbor when you had that opportunity? Did you give a track that has the gospel on it to that person, maybe at the gas station or maybe at the grocery store? Did you share the gospel? If not, then what's our purpose? What was our purpose then in 2025? What was our purpose as we look back this past year? What could we say we really accomplished then? Well, you know, my retirement went up. Friend, you know, if you die, you're not going to take that with you. I'm not saying it's wrong to put stuff away for retirement, but if that's where your purpose is, well, you know, I got a new car, I got a new house, or I got a new job. Wait, is that where your purpose is? Is that what your purpose is? You see, we want to be called out. We want to make sure that we're saved. But we have to understand the purpose that he's called us out is to stand out. He's called us to stand out in this dark world. And unfortunately, what's happening, can I say, in many churches with many Christians, those that call themselves Christians, they're glad to be called out. They're glad that they're saved. They don't want to stand out. I don't want to stand out. Tell somebody about Jesus. Boy, I don't think I could do that. Wait a minute. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad somebody gave you a track? Aren't you glad somebody invited you to church? But yet we can't do that with anyone else. You see, we don't understand our purpose. We are called out to stand out. And may I say, our identity leads to this mission. When we truly sit back and stop and think, wait a minute, the only reason that I am here today in this life that I'm living is because of Jesus Christ. My identity is in Him, not in the things of this world, not in anything else, but in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if my identity is in Him and He has called me out of darkness into His marvelous light, for what purpose? To show forth the praises of Him. To talk about Him. To point people to Him. We don't live to blend in. We live to bring Him glory. And I say, for Christians, we need to stop trying to blend in. We need to stop trying to be like the world. And understand, we are called out to stand out. Now, please understand, I'm not saying you've got to be weird. It's not what I'm talking about. You know, we look at the verse, a peculiar people. That means you got to be weird. No, that's not what the word means, right? Now, some of you are weird. No, I'm just kidding. But some of you wear that proudly, I can see. It's not saying we're supposed to be weird. We're to stand out. We're to be different. Why? To show forth His praises. So that people can see Jesus in us. The transformation from darkness to light should be visible in how we live, how we serve, how we follow the Lord. This is why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Not for self, not for First Baptist Church, for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He says, we have a job to do. We're the ambassadors for Christ. You know, like a lighthouse guiding ships through the storm, warning and shining brightly, Christians are meant to stand out. Not for attention. Not to bring attention to self. We're to stand out for direction. We're to stand out and say, hey, there's judgment. If you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there is judgment coming. We can help you know the one who can save you from your sin. You see, we're there to help give direction. We can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. We can't give anybody eternal life. That's only what Jesus Christ can do. So we are to be that light that is shining, helping them to see Jesus, helping them to see through the darkness that Jesus Christ can change their life. Friend, understand, your identity is not something that you achieve, something you receive. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became part of this new people. And you have a new purpose. You say, well, I didn't ask for this new purpose. It doesn't matter whether you asked for it or not. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were chosen by God to stand out. You are called by God to stand out in the midst of this dark world, not for self, but so that people can know Him. And so my challenge this year, and as we go through this book, we're called out to stand out. But just as we have a choice whether we will put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ or not, you have a choice of whether you're going to stand out or not. Maybe as we look back in 2025, we can see, but you know, I didn't stand out the way I should. Maybe this year, this is the year I need to stand out more for Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, each one of us, to recognize if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, You have called us out to stand out, to show forth your praises. Lord, would you help us to make that commitment today? This year, Lord, recognize you've made us a new people. You've made us part of your family. You've given us a new purpose to stand out, to point others to Jesus Christ. Lord, may we make that commitment this morning. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about, just very quickly, maybe there's someone here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm even saved. You talked about what salvation is. You know, I thought it was about baptism. I thought it was about church membership. I thought it was about being good. But I'm just not sure if I really know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm uncertain. If that's you this morning, nobody else is looking about, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just uncertain. Friend, my prayer can't save you. I just want to be able to pray for you. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Thank you. God bless you. You can put it down. Someone else. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm uncertain. Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. The piano is going to play in just a moment. If you raised your hand, if you're a man, we would have a man talk with you. If you're a lady, we would have a lady talk with you. But if you raised your hand a moment ago and you said, Pastor, I'm uncertain, friend, we would love to take the word of God and show you how you can be absolutely certain. We'd love to do that for you if you'd be willing to let us. Christian, are we going to stand out for Jesus Christ this year? Or are we just going to keep blending in with the rest of the world? Let's all stand to our feet quietly this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. The piano's going to begin playing this morning. Friend, if you raise your hand, you say, Pastor, I'm uncertain. Would you step out? I'll meet you right down here in front. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady talk with you. If you're a man, I'll have a man talk with you. Christian, what would you be willing to do? Are you going to stand out for Jesus Christ this year, or are you just going to blend in? What commitment will you make to the Lord today? Friend, if you come right now, I'll have someone take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. Friend, can I tell you this? When we're just blending in with the world, you're not going to find any satisfaction in doing that. There's going to be no happiness there. Not until we're willing to stand out for that purpose that he's called us to. Would you be willing to do that? This year, would you say, Lord, help me to stand out for you. You've called me out. You've made me part of this new people, this new family. I know I'm saved. Lord, I just haven't been fulfilling my purpose. Lord, by your grace, your help this year, I want to stand out. Would that be your prayer today? Lord, help me to show forth your praises in the midst of this dark, wicked world. Father, I pray you'd help each one of us, Lord, as Christians, if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Understand, you've made us part of this new family, this new people. What a privilege it is to be a part of the family of God. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, there's a purpose to it. Not just so that we can be saved. Not just so that we can know we're going to heaven. But Lord, to show forth your praises, to declare you the rest of the world who sits in darkness. that they can see that you can change their lives as well. So Father, I pray you'd help us as a church, help us individually, Lord, to make that commitment that we would be willing to stand out for Jesus Christ. Lord, work in our hearts as only you can. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.